Gore is, in short, a very unusual company with a clear and well-articulated philosophy. It's a big, established company attempting to behave like a small entrepreneurial startup. By all accounts, that attempt has been wildly successful. Gore has a rate of employee turnover that is about a third of the industry average. They've made a profit in 35 consecutive years. They have growth rates and an innovative, high-profit product line that is the envy of the industry. Gore has managed to create a small company ethos so infectious and sticky that it has survived their growth into a billion-dollar company with thousands of employees. And how did they do that? By, among other things, adhering to the rule of 150. Wilbert Bill Gore, the late founder of the company, seems to have stumbled on the principle by trial and error. "We found out again and again that things get clumsy at 150, he told an interviewer some years ago, so 150 employees per plant became the company goal. In the electronics division of the company, that means that no plant was built larger than 50,000 square feet, since there was almost no way to put much more than 150 people in a building that size. People used to ask me, 'How do you do long-term planning?' Hen said. And I'd say, 'That's easy. We put 150 parking spaces in the lot, and when people start parking on the grass, we know it's time to build a new plant.' That new plant didn't have to be far away. There is one site in Delaware, for example, that has three plants within a stone's throw of each other. The buildings only have to be distinct enough to allow for an individual culture in each. We found that a parking lot is a big gap between buildings, one longtime associate, Bert Chase, told me. You've got to pick yourself up and walk across a lot, and that's a big effort. That's almost enough effort as it takes to get in your car and drive 5 miles. There's a lot of independence in just having a separate building." As Gore has grown in recent years, the company has undergone an almost constant process of division and redivision. It's not hard to see the connection between this kind of organizational structure and the unusual free-form management style of Gore. The kind of bond that Dunbar describes in small groups is essentially a kind of peer pressure. It's knowing people well enough that what they think of you matters. Gore doesn't need formal management structures in its small plants. It doesn't need the usual layers of middle and upper management, because in groups that small, informal personal relationships are more effective. The pressure that comes to bear if we are not efficient at a plant, if we are not creating good earnings for the company, the peer pressure is unbelievable, Jim Buckley, a longtime associate of the firm, told me. This is what you get when you have small teams where everybody knows everybody. Peer pressure is much more powerful than a concept of a boss. People want to live up to what's expected of them. In order to be unified, then, in order to spread a specific company ideology to all of its employees, Gore had to break itself up into semi-autonomous small pieces. That is the paradox of the epidemic, that in order to create one contagious movement, you often have to create many small movements first. Rebecca Wells says that what she began to realize as the Yaya epidemic grew was that it wasn't really about her or even about her book. It wasn't one epidemic focused on one thing. It was thousands of different epidemics, all focused on the Yaya group. I began to realize, she said, that these women had built their own Yaya relationships, not so much to the book, but to each other.